Jupiter Broadcasting presents this program in stereo.
This episode brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show, Fedora 14 lands, and we share our impressions of this Linux powerhouse. Then, the Free Software Foundation has dropped a bomb on the VLC community. But we have to ask, what are the real motivations behind their latest attack? Plus so much more, this week on the Linux Action Show. Welcome to Linux Action Show, Season 14, Episode 4. My name is Chris. No.
Really?
No. My name is Brian. That guy is Chris.
Hey there, Brian. My name is Chris. And
bingo.
I think the new One Laptop Per Child X03 runs Linux, though you can't quite tell, because if you see this new screenshot... And audio.
I can't believe I got my name wrong.
Did that really happen? That wasn't a joke?
That really happened.
Really?
That really legitimately happened. That's not my kind of joke. That's
not your kind of joke. You like your name.
I'm a different kind of joke. I like to say my name a lot.
Yeah.
I go out in public, yeah, and I like to talk to people.
You might forget my name.
About, like I'm talking to someone on the street. We're like, oh, hey, this cafe looks really good. I don't say, that was a pretty good cafe. I'm like, Brian really likes that cafe, and Brian is going to eat there again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I make a point of it. So they walk away. They go, wow, that guy's name was Brian.
Hey, you know, wait, you didn't let me finish my thought on the One Laptop Per Child here.
I'm just blown away. I don't know how I can possibly do an interesting show if I can't even get my name right.
Well, we'll work on it.
I don't know if we can.
Oh, well, we can only do the best we can do.
That's a good point.
And that's what these One Laptop Per Child people thought when they threw together this screenshot where it includes elements from iOS and also... Which
that just an OS 10
like iChat window? Like early iChat too, like old iChat, right?
Holy crap.
And then you've definitely got some Android UI elements, including this you failed to properly remove your SD card warning on there.
That is what that is.
Yeah.
So we know that this is fake.
Yeah.
So they... Why did they release that?
This is their here is the.
No, wait a minute. Is that the One Laptop Per Child's released shot, or is that just what like this website, what Engadget put together?
I thought that might be the case, right? Because that could seem like something that maybe a blogger site would do.
Yeah.
So I did a Google News search, and a couple other news sites came up with the same image. But sometimes they copy from each other.
It's hard to tell.
But this is kind of fishy all around, because what the news story is that the One Laptop Per Child X03, which has been rumored to run on Android, has been delayed until February because they're trying to find a more unbreakable screen.
Which is cool. I dig
that. I don't buy it, though. I think it's because they don't have an operating system to put together
yet. No. They've got like four of them. Look, they've got four different operating systems all running on that one virtualized.
It's a sophisticated device.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The One Laptop Per Child X03 runs OS 10, iOS, and Android all at once. However, SD cards don't work quite right.
No. A little bug there, probably.
But they can work that out by February.
February, dude.
Unbreakable screens, SD cards working. Maybe even they'll add in like Windows support. So we'll see a little Windows 7 window floating around there.
That'd be great, man.
How can you go wrong with that?
You can't.
That's power.
Hey, I wanted to address a topic now to set the scene for the audio audience, which I know there are a lot of you. The Linux Action Show is happening up in the mountains today. We took a nice – it's Saturday night. We usually record Sunday morning.
Yes.
But we took a nice Saturday trip up to the mountains. Brought scarves. We said we're going to have a scarf day on Linux Action Show.
We sure did.
Now, we sort of had a miscommunication regarding the scarf situation. Brian went for a very nice, practical scarf.
Yeah, no, what I like to call this is I look good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This scarf looks good.
This is a statement. I'm pimping the Linux right here. You see, I'm making a statement. I thought the Linux Action Show was bold, so I'm comfortable, though.
It's leopard print, dude.
I was trying to be flashy.
It's leopard print. If anything, that's pimping the OS 10.
I was trying to be flashy.
Isn't that leopard? That's their thing?
Well, I was just thinking of like the cat, man. You know, like that crazy.
You have no idea what you're
powerful,
talking about.
Sexy cat.
You just want people to say, wow.
I was going to say sexy cat.
He's so comfortable in his masculinity wears.
I just didn't want to be busted on the internet saying sexy cat. And so I paused.
It's too late. You've said the word sexy cat.
Well, I'm a firm sexy cat believer, dude.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking about Linux-y things.
Actually, you know what, Brian? I do have an Android pick that's pretty handy this week, but I thought, you know, before we talked about the most excellent, useful, and handy Android pick that I do have,
yes,
maybe we could say holler to our good friends and acquaintances over at GoDaddy.com.
GoDaddy.com? Well, that's an interesting idea, because there you can register domain names. You can host the servers that will use those domain names.
Yeah.
And the great part is they're good competitive prices.
Mm-hmm.
You can use Linux hosting. Linux-powered hosting, ladies and gentlemen.
S-C-A-R-F?
You asked me just how to spell scarf right now.
Scarf party?
You just asked me that.
Oh, I'm registering
scarfparty.com.
GoDaddy.
Oh, is that real? Is that available?
No, but scarfparty.info is available.
Wait a minute. Scarfparty.com is already taken.
Wait a minute, but you know what is available? Scarfparty.biz.
Well, forget that. Scarfparty.me right there. That just is awesome sounding. So if you registered scarfparty.me, you type in the word Linux on checkout, 10% off your order.
That's not bad.
When you want to get the servers in place, Linux 2.0, 20% off of all of your server hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put whatever you want at scarfparty.me. And then you go over to jupitercolony.com and say, and all in caps, hey everybody, I have scarfparty.me, and we will all go check
actually,
it out.
Actually, how kind of epic would it be if it was like brian@scarfparty.me as your email address? That's not bad.
That is actually quite the awesome domain name. Think about it. Part of me wants to find out what scarfparty.com is, but part of me thinks we don't want to do that live
on the
air with the video playing.
I don't think
that's
so.
Just going to ruin the family-friendly nature of the show, I'm sure.
All right, so check this Android pick out that I've got.
No, we can't. Oh. We don't have time.
We don't?
Chris, we got a ton of news.
I know.
We got a Fedora 14 review.
I know.
And it's going to be big.
I know.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
But this is really handy. You want to hear it?
Make it
Tell
quick.
Me what you think.
Make it snappy.
All right, maybe you might be in a signal-challenged area where maybe you're not getting the best cell signal. Now, a lot of you probably remember the whole iPhone 4 controversy where Apple was lying about your actual reception.
I did. Yeah.
And then they updated it, and it's now a much more realistic representation. Android was sort of somewhere in the middle. They weren't quite lying, but they weren't being as honest as like the iPhone 4 is now.
Okay.
And that's still true. Like, and like even with Froyo, it's still not quite honest. So real signal actually gives you the actual exact signal to noise that you're experiencing. So you
interesting.
And you can troubleshoot. It breaks out your EVDO data signal from your CDMA, or this also works with GSM. So it breaks out your data and your voice, because sometimes
so
you can actually have
all
more
of the different signals that you're getting in. It breaks them all out individually instead of one combined bar.
And it's really a lot
that's
more.
Really cool.
It's a lot more real of a signal that you're getting. Like if you look, at the demo shot here, you can see there's three bars here of your real signal and two bars of your data signal. And if you go up to the Android, the actual Android signal indicator is showing just two bars. So it's because it's kind of a combined weird wonky combination of phone data and all this different math, and it's not and then it's also sometimes usually a little dishonest to make the phone look better.
All right, I concede. This was actually kind of cool,
and it's not bad. I've been running it on my phone for about a month and a half, and it just runs in the event notification area, so you just pull it down when you want to see it,
and
slide
it changed
it
everything
up. Been amazing.
It changed everything.
Fundamental, Brian.
Crazy. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Brian.
Let's do the news.
Okay.
What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian, we've got a great news docket for this week, and the first story...
Sorry, man, I can't take you seriously. Wearing a leopard print hat and scarf, dude. The chat room is pointing out it's more of a boa than a scarf. You're like an adorable 70-year-old woman with crazy taste.
All right, Brian.
I love it.
The first story on the news docket for this week, Ubuntu will be transitioning from X11 to Wayland.
This is awesome.
What do you think of this?
We need to be clear.
Okay.
There's no date. The next release of Ubuntu will not be based on Wayland.
No.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
This is a long-term thing.
This is a very long-term thing. And Mark Shuttleworth did this big, big post over on his blog. And it was a really interesting read. I recommend it if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend reading Mark's post specifically and not all of the commentators out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commentators, both positive and negative, and half of them seem to be technically wrong. So just ignore them. Go read what Mark reads. It's very simple and basically is this, X11 has too much baggage. It's difficult to maintain. It's hard to add all the things they want to add to it. But Wayland makes that much easier, much cleaner, newer code base, not ready yet.
But, and OpenGL Accelerated.
OpenGL Accelerated, but will be ready, the hope is, very shortly. At its current pace of development, Mark is convinced that it will be ready in time for over the next, say, year to 2 years for Ubuntu to make the full switch over. But maybe sometime in the interim, they'll make it an option where it's like an optional install. You can use Wayland instead of
Wayland X11. Has some compatibility layers to it to provide certain levels of driver compatibility and things like that. Now, that's probably – we don't really – I've never tried it. I've never really – I don't know much about it, but I would imagine that's probably not a perfect solution.
No, it is not, and we still need driver support from the manufacturers or Wayland before Ubuntu can do this. However, in order to get the manufacturers on board, there needs to be good backing and adoption of Wayland. So it's chicken and egg sort of a deal.
I know over the years, I've been like all over the place with X11. You know, I've kind of hated on a lot. One of the things
has some great features, though.
One of the things Wayland gets rid of is network transparency, which means. I recently have been using the S out of the free NX project. And
amazing.
If people are interested in a free NX segment, I am using the hell out of it. I'd love to talk about free NX on the show, but I don't want to bore people with it if it's too kind of IT. But that is made possible because of X11's network.
Yes.
And that network modulator, also having used Linux Terminal Server project on and off over the years, that's also a huge. And you know what? Honestly, I can say the performance is truly better. It's a better experience than the Windows system.
It's better than going a full like virtual desktop sort of route.
Yeah.
So there is that. Now, basically what it means is, though, yes, we are going to lose some functionality going to Wayland, and then we're going to gain some functionality, and the big thing is more performance. Like, one of the big things, if you read Wayland's, and a good place to go, just go to Wikipedia or something to get, like, a mission statement, is basically, well, heck, I'm just going to pull it up right here, right now.
All right.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia. This is how exciting Linux Action Show is, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that,
we go to Wikipedia, so you don't have to.
I think the main thing, just looping back to the network modularity, I don't really know how I've been trying to wrap my brain around how big of a requirement that really is. That's why I want to hear if people are interested in FreeNX, because I don't know if that's an issue for people or not.
See, I don't really use it. I'm more of a virtual desktop Intuit kind of guy. So the stated goal is for Wayland is every frame is perfect, by which I mean that applications will be able to control the rendering enough that we'll never see tearing, lag, redrawing, or Flickr.
That sounds pretty cool.
Now it's a great goal. It's a good and necessary goal for us going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now you may ask, well, why? You know, why now? We're already moving over to Unity on the Ubuntu side of things. We've got that whole new UI that's going to be sitting on X11 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's going to eventually switch over to Wayland.
And they want Unity to be smooth.
And we've
polished. Already
talked about extensive use of Compiz on Ubuntu for Unity.
Yep.
Now, so there's a lot of up in the air there. So then we're going to be talking Unity, Compiz, Wayland as the Ubuntu kind of on top stack.
That's going to give, if it works out, and if they can make it actually work pretty decently, that's going to give Ubuntu a pretty unique offering in the distribution space. Because right now, they can't say this is our major huge thing. They can say the software center, they can say notifications, things like that. But really, this would be like Windows 7 is different to OS 10 only without all of the incompatibilities there. In terms of UI and interface goes.
Yeah.
So it's like you almost would get the compatibility and of cross distributions and using Linux, but with your own unique feature set that you can advertise.
Kind of exciting and cool.
And I can see why they want to do that. It's a huge differentiator.
I mean, you still have GTK. You're still running GTK apps and KDE apps.
You're still running on the Linux kernel. You still have all of the GNU utilities.
Now, Mark it's also talked about like what they're talking about for the downstream projects. So Kubuntu or Edubuntu. Those won't get this if they don't want it. If they want to stick with X11 and GNOME or KDE or whatever they want to stick with, totally fine.
But isn't the interesting question what happens to Mint? Where does Mint go?
I don't know that's the interesting question, but that is an interesting question.
I think Mint is known for, you know, working so close with what Ubuntu does and then really improving on it, and that's what makes Mint. It's Ubuntu improved, and now they've gone off in their own directions with the Mint installs and all this on all their custom UI stuff they've done that's really nice.
Yeah.
Plus you combine that with their recent branch of going with Debian.
So maybe this is just them going off. I mean,
maybe they stay GNOME and they just say, well, we're going to let Ubuntu do its thing.
Well Ubuntu's still going to stay GNOME.
Well, you know what I mean, but not use the Unity interface.
Right. So you're saying no Unity, no
I mean,
Wayland.
Whatever the GNOME shell turns
maybe
out to be.
Maybe they'll just go more standard
GNOME
Debian,
shell or
Debian with, you know, GNOME or KDE or whatever.
And they could always do a branch that's the Ubuntu Unity version too, like they do with
everything
KDE
else.
And XFCE. Yeah.
Yeah, Linux Mint has like 80 editions
but
of every different version.
But you do
possible.
Wonder, you don't really foresee it becoming their main desktop. You can kind of see it being a branch, and they're staying with what the more mainstream is, I would think.
I don't know. I kind of like that. I like the idea that all the different distros are really starting to diverge into their unique areas of expertise and mm-hmm. focus. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that Ubuntu would ditch X11, ditch the standard GNOME shell, not go with the GNOME shell that's coming up, and go with Unity and Wayland. I mean, that's a hardcore switch. I mean, that's not a mm-hmm. new version of Firefox.
No.
That's a big switch, and it's not coming immediately, mm-hmm. but it's coming. And I like that that's entirely different than where Fedora and SUSE and all these other distros seem to be going.
You know,
themselves.
In his post, he makes a few references to not really getting the cooperation that he wanted. I'm having a hard time reading into that, so I don't know. I think maybe I don't really have any comments on that, really. It's just, it does sound like there's some tension between projects, but I think
some
that's
of
unusual.
That revolves around over the multi-touch stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that we got U-Touch, mm-hmm. with, which is, you know, a canonical zone.
There was a mention that Ubuntu, the multi-touch stuff made for Ubuntu would feature heavily in this stuff.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me. They think it's a good technology, and it's also probably one of the more advanced, or, you know, as far in terms of development so far.
Yeah.
So, all right, Brian. No, so
that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty interesting story. I'd like to actually hear what people think.
And it's not going to affect any of us for at least a year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah. No, it's way out there.
At earliest, I'm saying 11.10 for Ubuntu is the earliest I could see us having a reliable optional install.
Yeah.
Maybe for 12.04 or 12.10. But at that point, the Earth's about to end, right?
So
John Cusack is about to fly a plane out of a volcano.
Do you really care at that
point? Then there's going to be like this tectonic shift with tidal waves and then people
cracks
have to
chase
start in
you.
Boats. You crack. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So by that point, it doesn't matter if we're running Wayland or X11.
You've already microwaved the Earth.
You've microwaved the Earth. And the guy who was a bartender on Cheers just died on top of a volcano.
Wow. That's crazy.
The Linux Action Show, ladies and
gentlemen. So the next story on the news docket, Brian. Oh boy, I just don't even know where to start with this one. So VLC for the iPad recently released. Now, to sort of set this up a little bit, let's talk about how that kind of works. So it's not the actual, like, VLC project that has the VideoLAN client that you can get at VLC.org.
Right.
It was somebody that took the open source code and packaged it up, and they built an iPad and iPhone compatible.
They put a UI on it.
On top of it. Not unusual. There's a lot of things out there that take VLC.
Put a UI on it.
Yeah, a lot of things out there.
A lot of things.
So they did that, and they sold it. Well, they didn't really sell it. They put it for free in the iTunes store. You can get it on the iPad or the iPhone for free.
Awesome.
Now, so the Free Software Foundation comes along, and one of their license compliancy engineers stops by the VLC dev mailing list and really drops a bomb. And before he even reaches out...
Wait, we need to make this clear. When Chris says license compliancy engineer...
Yeah, I believe that was the title.
That's his actual title. In fact... Yeah. His email is signed that way.
Mm-hmm,
that
he's
a license compliancy engineer.
Doesn't that just reek of bureaucracy?
That reeks of retarded.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah. So
it makes you come across wrong. Leave that out.
I know, right? The Free Software Foundation, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of... It depends on when you're listening to this episode, so I'll leave the time frame out. But the Free Software Foundation put out on their blog that the VLC project was taking a tough stance against DRM and that Apple's going to have to pull the VLC app
from the
store because it was violation of GPL... terms and things like this, right?
And the Free Software Foundation made it really sound like this was the VideoLAN project stepping up and they're like making a stand against the big boy and fighting for their rights and doing everything they could in their power. It made it sound like the Free Software Foundation was just letting everyone know that the VideoLAN project was doing that.
Yeah, so it turns out they didn't actually even reach out to the developer of the mobile VLC application before they made that blog post.
Nope.
Then a couple of days later, they go and they drop an email in the VLC development mailing list, and they say, here's our analysis. Take a look at this. And they outline their observations of where there could be conflicts.
Yep.
After they've already made a big fuss.
Huge fuss.
So the developer of the mobile application responds, and he is very, very angry about this because essentially he builds a case that the Free Software Foundation is essentially dragging his application's name through the mud. There's been no threats of being removed from the App Store, all this stuff, right? And then they also laid hint bombs down about, oh, and if this ever went on Android, we could have the same issue because they wrap it in this DRM and all this, right? So this guy goes in here and says, look, guys, here's what you're doing by this. You, as the Free Software Foundation, are attacking me, an open source developer who released a GPL application. You're now coming after me, using me as your soapbox, my shoulders as your soapbox, dragging my name through the dirt, dragging my application through the dirt, pretending like you're defending me, causing trouble with my software distributor, Apple in this case.
Yep.
Claiming things, you know, Apple hates that kind of bad press stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Apple gets all kinds of pissed off. And really, it's only because I use the GPL. If I hadn't used a GPL piece of software, I wouldn't have this problem right now. And then he goes on to make the, and I don't really know how solid this argument is, but he goes on to make the case that these types of behaviors and practices are actually, he believes, contributing to a sharp decline in the contribution of GPL code. I really haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
It's certainly,
he links to some data that sort of does seem to agree with his analysis.
But you can, I can show all sorts of data of adoption rates. So I'm not going to buy into that one. But it definitely makes us look like a bunch of noobs. Is what it does.
Well, here's how I see it.
Lay it on me.
This guy releases VLC into the App Store. In the App Store entry, he has a link to his website. He could make the source code available there. He may even make the source code available there.
Yeah.
I believe that would comply with distributing the source code and the license.
But what the Free Software Foundation's coming up against is they're saying that you can't wrap it in the GPL. See, the thing
is, because it's got DRM, and it binds how the end user can use the product, and the GPL says you can't restrict how people use it.
Right. So technically, you couldn't go in.
That's a butchered
under certain DRM and modify the file.
Yeah.
So open up the package format on this, iPhone or iPad,
and that could be legitimate. Could be a legitimate point. I don't know, but here's where I take issue with it: is the Free Software Foundation is always using Apple as their attack platform. And the way that they approach it, they sound like they're out on the fringe.
Yeah.
Only they are out on the fringe in terms of their attitude, but they come across and sound like they represent the majority.
Yep.
And it appears that...
And they state explicitly that they represent people that they've never even talked to.
And by sounding...
They lied.
By making the claims and exaggerations that they do, they don't sound believable and legitimate, and because they sound like they're representing a majority, they actually, in my opinion, do not do a service to the overall debate. I'll follow this up with a rather obvious observation.
Lay it on me.
So their complaint is that GPL software is being wrapped in DRM, restricting its overall usage.
Right.
Okay. Well, then why aren't they getting up on their soapbox and going after manufacturers like HTC and Motorola and Samsung, Google, who are shipping Android devices that run Linux loaded with open source software that have physical DRM copy protection and restriction chips built into the actual phone,
yep,
including locked bootloaders, including mechanisms to wipe and reflash with DRM locked code. This is Linux with the GNU open source utilities on there, the free software.
Riddled with DRM.
Tons of free software on these devices, but they don't say a thing because it's not a platform to get them attention, and Apple is. And because that is so obviously transparent, it diminishes their overall argument because it just seems like and sounds like a play for attention. You combine that with the fact they have licensed compliance engineers to go around and just drop bombs in development communities, that just sounds like something's gotten bloated and bureaucratic over the years that now is simply just generating controversy to sustain itself. It has to create itself some sort of purpose in order for it to exist in the first place, because it is no longer really in a world where it has a relevant place. I'll give you an example. If you continue to interject yourself into the place of these new adopting mobile markets and marketplaces, people will avoid using open source because those are not just the future, they are the present. These mobile platforms and these markets and these app stores are the future. And if we as open source people can't get on board with that, people aren't going to be using open source. And they're the ones that are screwing all this up.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, sir. That's my opinion on it.
That was gorgeous. I wish I had something to add to that. But that was absolutely perfect.
I just was thinking, like, they sound like the old people in the room are like, get off that damn app store, son. Don't you know that they can control what you run? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's awful. Thank God we have the Linux desktop. Thank God we're going to have Mego and all
God
that kind of stuff.
We can optionally choose to purchase that product.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm an adult. I know what I want to buy. I know the choices involved in that.
Great.
Yeah.
Use it or don't use it. App developers, use it or don't use it. I don't care.
If the GPL doesn't allow for distribution in app stores? Well, that's a really big problem because there's a lot of GPL apps on the Android marketplace, and there's other GPL apps in the app store. This isn't the first and only one in there.
No, there's tons.
And so this has to be addressed, or else the GPL, even though we just got the GPL 3, it's going to become out of date.
And pointless.
Yeah.
Absolutely pointless.
These things are going to become the number one way software is distributed. Yes. And really, as Linux users, we shouldn't be surprised, because you cannot deny that the app stores are the precursor to these. This sort of distribution, repositories and checking dependencies and automatically downloading
updates. This is going to be going up very quickly, because think about it here. Apple's already announced the Mac App Store. So now all those desktop apps out there, what are you going to do if you want to put if that becomes the main way people get apps on a Mac desktop?
Yeah.
What if you want to download VLC, Video LAN Client, on a
Mac
desktop?
You're going to have to.
You're going to have to use that.
Mm-hmm.
So then is the actual main VLC then under attack by Apple and the Free Software Debt Foundation going to freak out? Well, sure. I may not like people being locked in and all DRM laden up, but if they want to, they want to. End of story. There's nothing more to it than that.
The other thing that does strike me about this whole thing, and I don't want to say much because – one of the people that really initially raised this concern was one of the lead developers of VLC. So obviously a very talented guy, has made a great open source project. You know, like I think they're like 11 million downloads and strong on VLC.
Huge.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The guy also works for Nokia. There's intense competition and litigation between Nokia and Apple, and especially over the App Store and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of convenient that that guy noticed this issue, works for Nokia, went to the Free Software Foundation and raised a stink. And there's been noted, you know, buddy-buddy connections. And this guy is a well-respected open-source contributor. I'm just saying there is that component to it. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I don't know. I don't want to really get into like a big conspiracy theory.
No.
Because to be honest, the Free Software Foundation does this all the time. Remember when they told people, go down to an Apple store, go up to a Genius Bar and start harassing the people working there.
And they gave you suggested things to harass them about.
To harass them about DRM on iPhones. Like, they instructed people to go and prevent Apple from doing business. That's kind of illegal. You kind of can't do that.
What's funny is we're not Apple fans on this show.
I hate Apple.
We slam Apple all the time, but it's just.
I hate that the Free Software Foundation is making me defend Apple.
I know, right? It's crazy.
When has Apple ever done anything right? It's been a long time.
I know, dude.
They screw me over every which way from Sunday. But you know what? It's their right to. They've never done anything where they start like yelling about my ability to run DRM-free software.
It's really
in their interest to promote DRM.
It's how I come down on the Kindle. I still buy stuff on my Kindle, even though the Kindle's wrapped in DRM.
Yeah. It's candy. It's convenient. It's how you want to do it.
It's a choice.
Yeah. Absolutely a choice. Now, I mean, I do the very same thing. So I don't know. It frustrates me. And we've talked about it before, but what frustrates me the most is that people still look to Richard Stallman and the Free Software Foundation, especially in the press, for what is the standpoint on an issue from Linux and the open source movement. And so people assume that that is our spokesman. Mark Shuttleworth, big name. He doesn't really have that. Mark will come out on his blog and say, hey, we're looking at doing this.
You know what it is.
And the nerds listen to it, but no one else. Only when people really
listen
to it.
Because there's no cohesive thing that unifies the Linux universe except for Free Software.
And the Free Software Foundation has the best possible name.
Well, and they've contributed important things.
They've contributed a lot.
And so... He's been established... we're going to move on because we've kind of been on this for a little while. In my BuzzFeed, there is one of the best analysis of this, better than Ars Technica, better than anybody, any write-up on any publication on the web. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's fantastic, including an actual response from Richard Stallman on this topic. I'll just read it really quickly and then we'll move on. He says,
absolutely.
I'm glad that VLC is enforcing the GPL against Apple. The FSF.
That's actually a statement from Richard Stallman, yeah.
The FSF has done so too. I was disappointed, though, that the message says open source, so much as instead of free libre software. By talking more about freedom, it could show more clearly the reason for doing this, rather than puzzlingly, some of the VLC developers have moved to silence. I don't know what R equals E9 MI comma is. Do you have any idea what that is?
It's got to be just like a weird error.
Maybe he writes in some weird editor or something.
Yeah.
By blocking this input from their art...
He does write everything in Emacs.
I can't actually read this paragraph.
RSS feed as a counter-protest, he has taken down...
The VLC developers have moved to silence R equals E9MI by blocking this input from their RSS feed. A counter-protest, he has taken down their popular site, planetvideoland.org. I'm confused by this. It sounds like there's a conflict among the VLC developers, but I don't understand why.
Huh. I have no idea what he means.
That is a really hard read. That's a rough... You know what Emacs needs is some spell check and some grammar check. That's what Emacs needs.
It has that if you add it in there. And
I'll link to that in the show notes. It's an interesting read, and the whole BuzzFeed really breaks it down.
Yeah, seriously.
Should we jump into some technical stuff?
Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Richard Stallman anymore.
All right, so the Phoronix guys, you know Phoronix, however you want to say their name.
Phoronix.
They had a pretty interesting article, and I wanted to feature it because I bet they worked their freaking butts off, because I've thought about doing something like this myself.
This would take forever to do.
So they've benchmarked the last 5 years of the Linux kernel.
From 2.6.12 through 2.6.37.
Yeah, and that's right out of Git there when they did this. Now,
that's awesome.
You can see there's in the video version here, there's a chart where it kind of jumps up around 2.6.30 pretty high. But once we kind of hit a certain point, what I find really interesting is you run different tests. Like they have a encryption 256-bit cipher test that they run through. You know, the Linux kernel really holds its own over the last 5 years.
It doesn't move.
It's staying rock steady. We have, and they go through what I really think Phoronix did here that's really impressive too, is they highlight a lot of the major features that were added at each different iteration. And there's some really great stuff, and you can see they've been super good about keeping the performance tight.
I mean, it's moved like 5 to 10% in a couple of spots, but always come back to where it was. So it's like a heartbeat. It's like watching a heartbeat on one of those little heart wigliographs.
This graph here really shows
that. By the way, that's how it's said.
What's that?
Wigliographs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a wigliograph, which means it always is pretty much level, but it wiggles.
Now, Is that real, or did you make
that up? That's real. If you go to wikipedia.org and search for wigliograph, it'll talk in there about the invention of the wigliograph, which was by my grandfather, interestingly enough.
Really?
Homer Augustus Lund. You can find all this information on Wikipedia. The more information I provide now, the better secondary source it is, and the less likely it will be for Wikipedia editors to delete the article that the viewers and listeners are about to create.
Nice, dude. Good thinking. Now, what I find particularly interesting about this story is it reflects...
Oh, wigliographs can only be applied to Linux-related topics.
Oh.
It has to be tangentially related to Linux, or it is not a wigliograph.
Actually, and I believe you could cite another Wikipedia article regarding things that can only be related to Linux. That's a pretty big article, I would assume, that would be created.
Being as Richard Stallman's okay with putting words into other people's mouths, I'm going to put into Richard Stallman's mouth the phrase... wigliographs would be good if they were GNU/wigliographs.
Yeah.
That's an actual statement. That's a quote that I am attributing falsely to Richard Stallman now.
That's nice. All right. So I want to give you my thoughts on the performance remaining rather the same over the last 5 years.
Okay. That's what we're talking about. Go for it.
When we were doing the show like 4 years ago, one of the things that was sort of being thrown around was, should we stay in 2.6 or should we move on to 2.8 now? It just seems like we're cramming all the stuff into 2.6. We're being ridiculous.
Right.
There's no way we're going to kernel bloat, code bloat. That was a really big topic for a while.
That was a huge topic. People were whining about it nonstop.
And I think this really shows that people were getting pretty upset about nothing, that Linus and the kernel team really had a plan. And I think this is, if you are in a situation where you're trying to evaluate Linux as a server platform for you, and you want to, and you're concerned about the history
this
and development,
is hugely great.
This is a great resource. So check the show notes for that.
I dare any of you to take OS 10, to take Windows Vista and 7,
please, Brian,
and mark
please.
Each release and each service pack for all of these same benchmarks, and show us
couldn't be done
this sort of consistency. This is great for saying, you know what, Linux is a rock solid, stable, hardened
Here's the proof.
Platform.
Here's the 5-year proof.
Built on the most stable possible thing. Not only do we not go way up, we don't go way down. Here is Linux. You can rely on
features.
It right now.
And there's advanced freaking features. I mean, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
All right, Brian.
Great job.
Well, that's all the news.
You threw the scarf over your shoulder.
For this week.
It looks ridiculous. Now, I have some rather troubling news, Chris.
What's that, Brian?
Today we need to review Fedora 14.
It's true.
Now, I have a little problem there.
Lay it on me, Brian. I'm curious what this could be.
Now, in the past, over the years that we've done the Linux Action Show,
mm-hmm.
I have said some things about Fedora that have been, let's just say, truthy.
Truthy.
They made some people unhappy and displeased with me.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, as somewhat of a joke,
You take
little jokey jab at the Fedora project. I commented once that it seems like I spend every other episode making fun of Fedora. And while this is probably not technically true, I did think it was rather funny, so it prompted me to make fun of Fedora more.
Every other episode, roughly.
Roughly. A little bit more than that in jokey terms. However, what we took to was we said, you know what? Let's just make it official. Let's say that every other episode of the Linux Action Show will be officially a hate on
Fedora
episode.
Could be a little rough on Fedora.
Episode, yeah. You know? But every other episode, I wouldn't say anything negative about Fedora at all. So it would even out was my thought. It was over time, I'll say the good stuff and the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. The problem is, today we have to review Fedora 14.
It's true. I mean, that sounds kind of exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Last week.
Yep.
I was okay. I like Fedora week.
Oh, okay.
Which means I am bound contractually.
The review falls now on the Fedora.
Correct.
In fact,
where I'm going with this.
Well, actually, we had the show on Sunday, and last Sunday we thought this might be an issue. So
huge.
I emailed the lawyer, and I said, look, you know, we've got this arrangement. We've scheduled this out. We've already got, you know, it's planned out till 2013.
Correct.
Just in case 2012 doesn't happen, we want it to be covered. We're expecting it fully. 2011 is going to be awesome.
Rocking.
Awesome. But in case, we got extended to 2013. But here's the problem, Brian. The lawyer said, no, we
can't.
It's locked.
We can't.
It's locked.
Legally.
In stone, it's locked.
We can't do it. We can't get out of this. It's binding, sealed in blood, if it were.
Well, it's not quite like that.
No.
It'd only be a $75 fine, but I don't have $75.
Well, it's not even quite that. It's more like casually I made that joke once in an episode, and I feel like it's funny enough to me that I can't not do it.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. I went ahead and said, you know what? This is before I realized that these two massive events would align. It's like Jupiter and the moon lining up, at which point all chickens die, or something like that. And we didn't realize. What would the odds be of bad on Fedora and Fedora Review Day?
Actually, I believe...
Less than 0.05% chance
believe,
those 2 days would happen
Brian,
together.
I actually believe Fedora was delayed by a week. So, actually, I would have landed on a non-hate day, but they delayed it by...
So this is Fedora's fault.
Yeah. I mean, we...
that's what more we can say. Wanted to say that. Now, however, I have been running Fedora 14 for several weeks now.
Good on
one
you,
of
dude.
My boxes.
All right.
So I'm ready to do this. When I am being joking and... not actually upset and disappointed with the review, I will tell you in a very non-subtle way. However, the rest of the time, assume I am simply joking.
Okay. Okay.
Now, Chris, I'm going to hand this over to you. What do you want to talk about Fedora 14?
Let's get started. You know, Fedora 14, it's probably got a couple of major features that I think are going to jump out at us. So
a couple. Now, the first major feature I want to talk about, and this is really the top listed feature on their website. it's the number one new feature for Fedora on Linux desktop. Now, mind you, Chris, Fedora is touted as a pro feature, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, a pro distro.
I would think so. I picture a power users distribution, definitely.
We reviewed Arch last week, and Arch is obviously for pro users.
Oh,
but
yeah,
Fedora
yeah.
is where that groundbreaking new development happens. AIGLX started over in Fedora.
Network
land.
Manager. Hey, you know, I'll give you this, though. What about maybe now here's the gray area with Fedora that I go to. A lot of people running Fedora are running Fedora because they're running Red Hat Enterprise on their server.
So true.
That's not always necessarily power user.
But for the most part, you say these are people looking for the most cutting-edge thing Linux has to offer. Well, lucky for us... Fedora has figured out what that cutting-edge feature should be.
Yeah.
The thing that people should be talking about all this year. The inclusion of libjpeg turbo. Users can now load and save JPEG images faster in Fedora than in previous versions Fedora.
My mom had a car that had a turbo engine in it, and it would go up hills way faster than our car that didn't. So I like turbo. Also, a lot of pornography is distributed in JPEG. So potentially, Fedora could be going for that market as well.
Yeah.
If you got a short period of time, you need to get the job done. You don't want to sit around waiting on some slow JPEG library.
I know there's a lot of expensive equipment on this desk, but I want to flip it the F over right now.
This is
the number one new feature of one of the biggest names in Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one feature is your JPEGs, you're totally quicker now.
I know.
When was the last time you were sitting around using your awesome Compiz-enabled desktop with some of the best compositing, with some of the best look and feel, with cool docs? KDE 4 looks pimping. I mean, GNOME is looking awesome nowadays. Some of you might be running Unity. All these amazing features. Flash videos and every codec on the planet. All these things. When were you ever thinking, oh my gosh.
JPEG.
I just can't handle how long it's taking this JPEG image to open.
I can't wait for something to come along and solve this problem for me. I know. Now, hold on. Let's get on to topic. Let's get on to feature number two. Because feature number two now, feature number two, kind of excited about.
Feature number two is SPICE.
SPICE.
Now, SPICE is the simple protocol for independent computing environments. And it, quote, provides a user with an enhanced remote desktop experience.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Now, here's where I could see SPICE being cool. It's very early days. But this could be a... This actually could develop into a solid competitor for VMware and VirtualBox.
Yeah.
And here's why. Is KVM is great. KVM is fast.
Phenomenal.
The problem is, how do you set up a KVM virtual server?
Right. Now I hear you.
It's hard. There's some great Fedora tools. Fedora is leading the edge on this stuff. And this SPICE program is going to give you a VMware-like, eventually one day, I hope, a VMware-like UI on top where you can manage KVM virtual machines. They're going to have eventually 2D and 3D acceleration. They're going to have all kinds of stuff where you can get a really high-quality desktop experience or manage a bunch of virtual servers. This is really cool. This is obviously a piece of technology they're working on for Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And I would say that that's actually how all of Fedora 14 shakes out for me. Everything in here sounds like it's early testing days for stuff that's going to make it in
Red
Hat Enterprise.
No, Chris. Those JPEGs load very quickly. I can attest to not being disappointed at how long it took my JPEGs to open. And believe me, that's what I do all day. I open and benchmark JPEGs because I'm so frustrated by the current state of JPEG opening.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm going to be clear, that is not a joke that I'm upset about this feature. That is freaking stupid, retarded.
Feature number one.
That's fine. If some dev says, you know what, I can make JPEGs look quicker. Awesome. Do it. I love that. That's great.
I wanted to talk.
But why post it as your number one new feature? Do you guys seriously just think about this stuff? This is ridiculous. It makes us look like little children here. Come on.
I don't think they care.
I don't think they do.
I think.
I'm going to get an email telling me how much I don't get it.
This is going to get me in trouble, but I'm just going to put it out there. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for it, Leopard Print Man.
What if it was shown that a distrust in the free community-supported distributions directly improved the sales of enterprise-supported distributions? So what if by having poor quality community distributions out there. Not poor quality. Not CEO, CTO friendly, ready. So what if by having something that makes these not look so polished, makes a product that is appear more polished, more likely to sell? Then wouldn't it almost be in their best interest if Fedora looked a little janky?
Are you implying a conspiracy theory?
No, I don't mean to do that. Floating that.
You floated something here.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little thought balloon,
right? I'm going to say that here's this thing floating in front of me.
Yeah,
There's a floater right in front of us. And someone said it, I don't know who, at this point. But I believe what was implied was that Red Hat,
possibly,
as a company who employs the people who run the Fedora project for a fair extent. I mean, not everybody. Yeah. But in order to make sure Fedora makes the rest of Linux look bad. In order to sell Red Hat Enterprise Linux?
Let's say possibly enhance people's indecision or hesitance. Let's just say it would give me pause. If I'm looking at
I do feel enhanced.
If I'm going with this new crazy Linux platform because we've got to replace these old aging Unix systems.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And I'm gonna go. Well, okay, I can go with a nice enterprise package. That's gonna cost me $3,000 for server for the nice high end licensing and support from Red Hat. I could go with Debian. Boy, there's no real. So I could maybe find a contractor. Or I could go with Fedora. That's based on Red Hat. That's good stuff. I don't really. This just doesn't seem like this is production. This isn't going to go on our server. Well, all right. I'm going to go with the Red Hat Linux.
Dude,
Just putting it out.
I don't think so. We've talked to the people who run the Fedora project.
Yeah, and they're passionate.
They're smart people. They love what they're doing. So I can't. Yeah.
So, with that out of the way.
I can see that having a net positive effect for.
Then why make libjpg your number one feature?
I don't know.
If it's not out of malice, what's the reason?
It's funny. Maybe.
It's funny.
Maybe the Fedora project is the best possible at self-deprecating humor, but they don't like to let on to the outside world. They think it's also funny to pretend to be angry about us talking about Fedora.
Now, I want to touch on a couple of things. The installer is sort of a sore point for me, and I'm taking some screenshots here from desktoplinuxreviews.com. Did a great write-up on this release of Fedora. Nice and long, super good read.
That first screenshot, the opening screen of the installer, looks great.
Not bad.
Now, so, for those of you listening, our apologies. There's a point to all this. Bear along with it. I'm going to try and describe the graphics we see to you so you guys can
follow. Would actually say that I would be of the opinion that Fedora and Red Hat had – I loved that traditional Anaconda installer, that traditional Linux boot installer CD. You boot off of that. You go into Anaconda. I thought that was great. I'll tell you what, though, Brian, this new installer, my Anaconda don't want none, son, because I do not enjoy the UI design at all. I am not liking this. It does not. It just seems like a step back.
Now, scroll up, and let's just kind of go through this.
It worked
this
time.
Really, really quickly. All right, so the first two screens look fine. I mean, they're kind of Spartan, but they're filling the screen right. Everything's laid out right. Scroll down. By the time you get to the third one, half of the entire screen is empty. The window itself looks like it has Down syndrome. Like, it looks dumb. It looks like it was designed poorly. Lots and lots of empty space. Scroll down. It gets even worse. Then not only is half the screen empty, but the text field itself is like aligned to just before the middle point. It doesn't fill up the width or the height of the screen. It looks very...
These are like early mock-ups of design before you attach code behind the buttons.
And then it gets even worse.
It does get a lot worse.
The map things.
Something happened to Anaconda here when they converted it to a live installer. I don't know if this is...
It's broken.
Is it Anaconda or is it just a recreation of that?
It's broken.
It's just...
A few of the screens look fine. It looks like... Honestly,
it's functional.
If you look at the layout of a couple of the screens, it looks like two different people wrote this. One wrote half the screens and one wrote the other half of the screens. And so some of the screens look fine. They're Spartan. They're bare. But you know what? That's Fedora. It's okay. But some of them just look like someone who just started learning about software development.
Do we care? Look, it's nicer than Arch's installer. It's much nicer. So why are we holding Fedora to the standard that we're not holding Arch? Arch, it's almost like, I guess it goes back to what I said at the top of the Arch review last episode, is that Arch almost feels like it's more well-defined because of its so hardcore nature.
Yeah.
Whereas with Fedora...
I still don't know what it is.
Yeah. And now they're coming pretty clearly out here. They're trying to say, you know, open source enthusiasts, I think, and developers. But the problem is... I
don't see that.
I'm at a loss to see what the advantage is there.
I don't see the advantage of Fedora. Fedora is like... It's like if you took OpenSUSE and scrambled it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you've got Fedora. So why not just use OpenSUSE?
Obviously there's technical differences.
But for the general usability standpoint, even for developers, I mean, there's no you don't build everything
yourself.
That's
what I'm wondering.
You're not getting the latest and greatest from some repo.
If you're a developer on Linux and you're not targeting Ubuntu, you're missing out on the largest desktop share. But okay, that could be fine.
That could be fine.
Maybe you don't care.
But maybe you're sold on that platform. As Fedora is your platform.
I guess so.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what it seems like. It feels like it. So anyway, so what you've been saying, you went through the installer and it just seemed stupid.
Now, I
actually came at it from a slightly different angle.
Okay.
I actually felt like it was an improvement over the previous installer because the previous installer, I couldn't get to work half the time.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, it's functional. And so at a certain point, I just have to kind of say, shut up about the look and it functions.
Exactly. So it worked for me. I didn't encounter any problems with the installer this time, which I expected to because I've had problems for the last three versions of Fedora. Just getting it installed.
You know, what I really gather here, and you talked about it really quickly, but they wanted to touch on a few points, and so let's talk about them. You know, they focused on improvements for developers, right? And one of the things they mentioned is Python 2.
No, 2.7.
Yeah, in preparation for Python 3.
Right.
Like this to sort of bridge that gap.
It's like a bridging gap.
So if I'm a Python person,
Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, am I going that direction? Maybe that's maybe. I'm just trying.
It's fine.
I'm struggling.
That big of a thing. I mean, they were previously on a version of Python 2.6, what pretty much everything uses. I mean, every major app out there is Python 2.6 for the most part.
Right.
That's not universal, but for the most part.
Right.
So it's not really a big deal. It's not big one way or the other. Just like they also listen here, GNU step support. So, but no one uses that.
Right.
No one uses that. I'm sorry, they just don't. I think it's cool. I think people should use it, actually. But nobody uses it. I mean, it's a new version of Perl. Fine. And it's not even full Perl. It's just a version. It's like an implementation of Perl. Support for the D programming language. No one uses that. It doesn't matter. But I like how nerdy that is.
Yeah.
So that wins it points for me.
Sure.
On the pro user usability standpoint, if I want these cutting edge things, I'm going to go get the latest and greatest.
Right.
I'm not going to wait even for a few weeks to be out of date on them. So why do I want these packages? If I'm running Fedora, I'm not going to use these packages. I'm going to remove them and then get my own, build it from source.
Exactly.
So I don't understand. Arch is a better Fedora than Fedora is what I'm at.
Do you want to talk about the theme? What do you think of the overall look? We usually like to touch a little bit because we've just generally kind of been a focus of our reviews. I also thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about the Ad Remove Software Center. Well, I guess it's not Software Center, but the Ad Remove Software Utility and how I think maybe this might be a good next area for Fedora to sort of focus on.
Yeah.
I would say really my impressions of the software installer are that it's now kind of fallen behind the others.
It's fine. It's okay.
It
got the job done for the most part, but I immediately found myself dropping to the command line. So I, you know, if I'm falling back and installing my RPMs the good old fashioned the way the good Lord intended,
or at least using Yum on the command line.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I mean Yum when I say that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I used it. It was easy enough to install a couple of things, and then I just dropped it.
Yeah, it's functional. And again, that's how I would say a lot of this stuff that I came across was, well, my initial reaction was sort of to recoil, and boy, this feels like we should be beyond this now. It doesn't feel very advanced. But then you go, wait, simple's okay. It's working.
Yeah.
It's getting the job done.
It's fine.
And that's what you need to have happen. I mean, it doesn't have to be amazing.
But it's a little schizophrenic. You know what I mean? It's like the rest of the system is fairly programmer centric, at least in terms of features.
If you know what it is, the Software Center, when my walkaway impression with Ubuntu. I got in trouble for saying Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Their Software Center, I actually found myself sort of discovering software. You know, I was trying different stuff, seeing recommendations, seeing things that were well rated. And there's actually, all of a sudden, there's a click with me. Wait a minute, this GUI and this interface that they're building is actually going to add some sort of value for me as a Linux user.
Right. And then finding cool new tools.
And I think that's where when I see a rather simple interface to software management, I'm like, this doesn't seem inspired. It just seems thrown together because they had to. And I guess that's kind of maybe why I have a recoil reaction to it. And then the logical part of my brain has to go, wait, calm down, cowboy. Calm down. It actually is okay.
Did you just call yourself cowboy with leopard print hat and a leopard print boa on?
You bet, bro.
You're secure, man.
It's a leopard cowboy hat.
It's a leopard cowboy hat.
Why wouldn't I be a cowboy?
I don't know. I didn't ever thought of it as a cowboy hat already. Those of you listening to the audio show, do yourself a favor this week and watch like 2 minutes of the video show.
Yeah, we'll get back to your desk.
We're up on YouTube. We're up on Jupiter Broadcasting. I don't care where you do it. Just go see some pictures of that. You have to. You also have to look around. Probably around the 30-minute mark, he does this swoosh over his shoulder like he's he just did it again.
Well,
that's fantastic. So go find this rough time spot, and you'll be happy.
All right, sir. Any other points you want to talk about in Fedora?
So I ran into a lot of little bugs, but nothing that big.
Lay one on me. What do you got?
It was little stuff like, you know, dialogues would pop up and they'd be too small for the text, so I'd have to scroll around. I had a couple of problems early on with packages not resolving when I was trying to install stuff through their native, through their actual thing. So that's really just kind of maybe a problem with the repo, might have been a launch day issue. But it was all stuff I could easily figure out.
Yeah.
What I liked was, I had far less big problems this time than I did with Fedora 13 or 12 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this is a much more stable release than the previous Fedoras, but with more little visual glitches all over the place. I've seen a lot of little bugs, but nothing that in and of themselves would be like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. There's no showstopper issues there.
Now I'm thinking
I liked that.
I'm thinking of loading it on a MSI Wind.
Yeah.
And running on that. And, you know, if I come across some stuff, I'll file some bug reports because I know the Fedora Project always wants us to do that. And so I'll go through and I'll get those filed if I see something like that. But I'll be honest with you. I'd really like to see something different from Fedora. I don't know what. I guess I want to see them really kick another distribution in the butt in some area just to really show that. I just feel like we have some of the smartest, most motivated, most passionate people, and
they are.
And what we get isn't a representation fully of that.
Of what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we constantly get upset about Fedora 4. They have a good legacy, they have the name recognition, and they've got an amazing team of
really talented people. And a fantastic market position. I mean, they're just positioned so well that if they came across as such a slick representation of Linux in their positioning, I think it could really help things a lot.
I think it would be amazing. Honestly, I think if they did it right, they could in 6 months totally dethrone Ubuntu off of its current stage of having kind of like the largest.
Especially if they could,
right
if they could, you know, if they
just
could,
boom, nail
you had,
it.
You had Windows come in, you know, and Windows could offer this server and client that worked well together, and it was this total complete package. And I would just love to see some sort of really solid component with Red Hat Enterprise. And I know there's the Red Hat Enterprise desktop thing.
Yeah,
I'd like to. I would have liked to have seen Fedora kind of really become this distribution that would just be fantastic to throw in front of people and really show them what new Linux technology can do. And it is that in some ways, but I feel like it's just as treacherous in as many ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I for me, I think it's improved. Graphically, I think it's a step down, which is saying a lot. But functionality-wise, I think it's slightly more polished in the hardcore functionality department. As long as you're not expecting, you know, great-looking UIs, you're fine. So that I liked. The new features, come on, it's a joke. It's a minor rev with faster libjpeg. That's just stupid. That's dumb. But if you don't like Ubuntu and you don't like OpenSUSE and you don't like Arch, and you're like, you know what? These aren't just doing it for me, but I love me some RPM. Fedora's the way to go.
Yeah.
Outside of that one narrow case of users, I don't know who I could recommend it to in its current state.
I agree. And I guess I would say it's functional. That's my review of Fedora 14. It's functional. And if you're a Red Hat shop, it's a great upgrade. It's a good, solid release of Fedora.
I agree. Functionally, though, I should say it's better than the previous Fedoras.
Yeah.
I would still say that it's either on par or slightly worse in some areas than Ubuntu, OpenSUSE, Mint, Sibian, PC, you know, I mean, so many others I feel like are either just as stable or even a little more so in terms of getting things to work out of the box, you know, being able to install packages without having to have resolution issues.
I feel bad that we have to walk away with a non-positive review. It is
non-positive Fedora week.
You know what it is I feel like Fedora moves a lot of things forward, and it's just not always the flashiest, and somebody else comes along and makes it flashy. And so they kind of lose credit for it in a little ways. And so I do want to try to recognize that and realize that they do contribute that.
Here's the thing, though. If polishing it up and making it flashy was the easy part, you'd think someone would have just come along and quickly willy-nilly done it to Fedora. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
It's either hard to do, and Fedora doesn't have the resources to do it, in which case we should say, great job, Fedora, for giving us these technologies to do something decent with. Or it's super hard to do, and we need to appreciate what the other people do, like the Ubuntus and whatnot of the world, more.
Interesting
thought.
It's
one way or the other.
I think it's a good thought to end our review on, Brian.
It is?
All right, everyone. Well, that's our look at Fedora 14.
I did that. Wow, that was like 14 years of Downertown. I don't like any of that. I don't like, what's my hair doing now? My hair was like totally non-awesome. Now it's, get the bowl off me, dude. It's funny on you. Not so funny over here.
Oh, I'm sorry,
you gotta leave it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's very soft.
I know, right? It's nice. I know, it's pretty comfy, too.
Oh, I don't like the hat as much, but though, that's soft. I feel good on my neck.
The hat's not win.
What are we talking about?
Well,
all right, so.
We got a gaming episode coming up, Brian. So let's amp it up.
We're gonna counteract all of the downer stuff with games.
Yeah.
We want to hear about the games you guys are playing. We've got a lot of stuff we already want to talk about. We got a lot of stuff ready to rock and roll. But I want to hear, what is your favorite game? What are the games you're most excited for?
We want to know,
what
guys.
Are the games that you want to see come to Linux?
Preferred if they're
stuff.
Free and open source.
But either way.
Run on Linux.
I don't care. I just want to play games available on Linux. I mean, anything. And I'm talking, you know, games that are native on Linux, games that are online, Flash games. any way that you can take your Linux box and make it into something that's a really exciting gaming platform. That's what we want to talk about. Those are the things.
There's a couple of ways you guys can tell us which games you think we should try. You know what we haven't done in a very long time? We haven't given out the email address. So we should probably do
that.
We
have email still?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I haven't checked it in forever.
I know, right? It's linuxactionshow@jupiterbroadcasting.com. But if you are so compelled, if you feel like what you want to say about gaming is going to be better in an audio form, well, we also encourage your calls. You can call us at 1-425-533-2217. Yep.
Country code 1.
Yeah.
Because we're in America.
Hey, Brian.
Land of that telephone number.
How the F is Illumination Software Creator doing?
All right. It's doing great, but I don't want to talk about it very much because I got a hard time from a bunch of people over the last few weeks. Like, Brian, why you always got to be pimping it?
Really? Because it's really exciting. I want to talk about it.
All right. All right. Quick little things. We announced two non-Linuxy things. So you can build iOS apps and Windows Phone 7 apps in the next release.
So wait a minute.
Which is coming out in like 2 months.
Can I do a single project and output Python, iOS, Android, and like some sort of maybe let's say other
Windows Phone 7, iOS?
I wasn't gonna say it.
MAMO and then desktop Linux.
Let's just call it the new phone OS that came out in November. We'll just call it that.
Really? We're willing to say iOS's dirty name, apparently, and not
because
Windows
Phone. Why?
Come on, the phrase Windows Phone 7 is fun to say because it's a ridiculous name.
In my brain, iOS is a Cisco thing. It's a Cisco thing. That's not an Apple thing.
Really?
Cisco has iOS first.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's exciting.
They had iPhone first, too.
I just wanted to say, here's the thing. It got me thinking. Do we pimp ourselves too much on our shows? You know, do we talk too much about what we're doing? And I was thinking about it. No, we don't.
No.
I mean, really. Really?
We don't really.
Nobody that's complained to me is like, has a big show. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one has that anyway. And I think, I don't know if I want to live. I don't care. I just don't care. Plus, really? Really? Really?
That's all you got?
Seriously, that's all I got. I want to pimp my stuff. I don't want to be a jerk about it. But you know what I mean? See, you know what I'm saying?
Let's just go to RadicalBreeze.com, check it out.
It makes my voice go high.
Yeah.
It makes my pitch go up.
I understand.
So I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
But there are places that you can... For the audios at home, Chris just flashed the website of a certain unnamed domain name
up
on the screen.
Yeah.
But here's the reason I've been talking about this on the show.
Okay.
It's not... Yes, I would love to see like a bajillion dollars come in for it.
Oh, absolutely.
If someone sends me like $1 billion, am I going to be sad?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
No.
Is it more likely that that billion will show up the more people I tell about it? Yeah, sure.
Sure.
However, the reason that I talk about this is because I've constantly felt that Linux needs more dev options. Like we need to be able to empower Linux developers to create software for anything. So when we go to our managers or our technical directors, we can give them a really good, like, option.
Yeah.
And I know Illumination is not like the enterprise server operating system thing, but not all applications are. You know, sometimes you need to make a little demo utility or calculator or something.
A lot of, the number one thing people build in corporations is in-house applications to manage their own processes.
So while this may not be the solution for everyone, I want to see more solutions like this. So I've been promoting this a lot, hoping to really get people to think about how awesome it would be to sit down at one Linux desktop and make an iPhone game, an Android game, a Windows Phone 7, Phone 7 series
game, a desktop
game,
Linux game,
a MAMO tablet game, potentially Amigo one in the future if I get that working right. It doesn't at all, which is why we were going to announce Amigo support along with it.
That'd have been badass.
Because we have it pretty much ready for a QT Amigo target. Not working quite right. Not sure why. I kept looking at the code. I'm like, this should run fine.
Yeah.
And being as we can't figure it out, we're just gonna put it off.
Yeah.
But what I like is I want to see more projects tackle the ability to work 90% of my time or more on Linux desktop.
I know.
So that's why we push it on the show. That's why I talk about it a bit. Even if you don't buy this and you're a developer, consider the ideas. That's I'm just putting it out there.
I like that.
In the world. Go buy a copy.
Now, something to think about is when we do our Linux gaming episode next Sunday, we're going to do that as live. And if you want to know exactly when we're doing that, you can head over to facebook.com/JupiterBroadcasting because we post insightful things like, we're going live right now. And then, you know, that's when you can join us, and that works out.
It's rocking. We also are on Twitter, twitter.com/ChrisLAS
for
Linux Action Show. That is a dedication. He puts the show acronym in his freaking name.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore. There's even some of these shows, it actually says host, ChrisLAS.
I know.
It has my full name.
Yeah.
Because... Well, I have more letters than Chris does. I think is
the ironic thing was that was a mistake. It was like a copy and paste mistake.
It's been that way for like a year.
And I'm the one that makes the credits. Yeah. I think I fixed it, didn't I? Finally,
it's still there.
Oh God!
If you fixed it, you forgot to put it in.
Can you tell my priority level on it?
No, they'll know. Well, they know your name's Chris.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, they just my Twitter handle really gets stuck in there. I figure.
And it's pretty great. Anyway, I'm Brian Lundick over on Twitter. Lots and lots of things all over the place. Happy Dappy, JupiterColony.com.
Yeah.
That's the forum.
That's a best spot for feedback.
You should rock out on all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so next Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, games. Go to the Colony. That's the best spot to talk about that stuff.
Because really, I'd like to see what other people think when people list games in there so we can really kind of narrow it down.
And I think it would be cool.
We got to whittle that list down.
To play like one or two multiplayer games, even for just for like 2 or 3 minutes to get some screenshots.
With some of the viewers and stuff?
With people who are in the chat room waiting to play with us. So watch that space. We'll get the apps all there ahead of time if we can, and then we'll give it a try.
Yeah, we'll organize up in the Colony, and then you guys can join us. That's going to be a ton of fun.
Be rocking.
And then we'll release it later in the day for the people that can't join us live.
Man, we did an event like that once. We did a Frag Brian and Chris event.
It was like an anniversary show, I think.
Yeah, it was an anniversary show, and we invited everyone to come hang out with us for like an hour or two beforehand, and we got so murdered.
Yeah.
We were playing like Next U Is and I think Assault Cube and a few others, and we'd hop
in. It was brutal, dude.
The moment we spawn, dead.
So like, bad.
We were consistently the bottom. Close to it.
I was like, come on, guys. After all these years of making shows for you just murder us? Like,
Just murder.
Just
like,
brutal.
We made the whole Frag Brian and Kristen kind of a joke. We're like, hey, we're being witty and coming up with a cool name. We didn't mean to kill us, like, every time. I want to walk around a little bit.
Hear you, dude.
Let me shoot one of you.
Can I get a new gun?
Yeah.
Can I pick up a gun?
Yeah. Where's my rocket launcher? I never got a rocket launcher in any game.
I didn't have Super Jump either. I love Super Jump.
I didn't even know Super Jump exists. That's how quickly they kill me all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, so it should be fun next week. You'll get a chance to shoot us regardless of what kind of game we're playing, probably. So hop on in, watch us. That's all
Absolutely.
I got to say.
All
I don't
right.
say anything else.
Thanks, everyone, so much for joining us in this episode of the Linux Action Show. And we'll see you right back here next Sunday.